Welcome to Family Policy Matters, an engaging and informative weekly radio show and podcast produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Hi, this is John Rustin, president of NC Family, and we're grateful to have you with us for this week's program. It's our prayer that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired by what you hear on Family Policy Matters, and that you will feel better equipped to be a voice of persuasion for family values in your community, state, and nation. And now here is our host of Family Policy Matters, Tracy DeVette Griggs.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. The topic of race is a prominent part of our national conversation these days, and a large part of the discussion is the appropriate way to affect change. Well, Kevin McGarry, president of Every Black Life Matters, is here to talk about that. McGarry is an entrepreneur and author with a successful career in information technology. He co-founded Every Black Life Matters partly in response to the civil unrest many cities endured during the summer of 2020, and in some cities continues today. Well, their mission is to protect Black life from conception to death by confronting injustice and deconstructing barriers inside and outside the Black community. Kevin McGarry, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Well, explain how Every Black Life Matters is different from other organizations that say they are also committed to justice.
Most other organizations that say they're committed to justice are really speak of justice in relation to social activism in the streets. And we are committed to justice as it relates to beginning in the womb. Dr. Martin Luther King gave us a poignant reminder that if we tolerate injustice anywhere, it leads to injustice everywhere. And fundamentally, we believe that justice begins in the womb. And so we believe that standing up for justice at the root of when life begins is fundamentally the actual definition of justice. And so what differentiates us from any other justice organization is we're standing up for justice at conception, and standing up for justice throughout every phase of life. And so that's the biggest differentiator between us and any other justice organization.
Why do you suppose that other organizations that seek justice don't see that?
Primarily because they're paid off by injustice organizations like Planned Parenthood and other political organizations. They are committed to standing for the mighty dollar. And for them, they would rather be silent about the injustices of eugenics and abortion and the disproportionate targeting of communities, especially Black communities. So they're more than willing to silence themselves in order to allow disproportionate targeting and the evils of injustices targeted at those communities. And so fundamentally, it's dollars and cents.
This cry for justice in the marketplace, at least, or in our culture, seems to have been commandeered by the left. Why do you suppose that is?
Because we don't have enough of the ethnic minorities and racial minorities that will stand with those voices. We do have a lot of people on the right that will say that, but because there are so many on the right that are, if I can do an air quotes, white, and whites have been so marginalized and muted, their voices have, they're sort of dismissed, and their voices don't carry very much in these times, unfortunately. And we need more Black voices, if you will, to stand and to actually decry what's happening with our communities of color as it relates to all of these grotesque injustices, dismembering babies in the womb and selling baby parts, and especially our ethnic minorities that are being dismembered in the womb, and all of these grotesque injustices that are being done. So we just need more minorities pointing these things out. And I think we are getting better at this, but it's just taking more time.
You talk sometimes about intentional impartiality. What do you mean by that?
We have to recognize that every ethnic group, every racial group, all groups are partial. You know, this is part of human reality. I mean, we are partial. I'm partial to my family members. I am. I mean, I see my family member on the street, I'm going to treat my family member different than I'll treat any other person on the street. I see, you know, people in my ethnic group, I'm going to greet them. This is part of our human and cultural existence. This just happens. So partiality does happen. We have to recognize that it has a tendency to happen, and we have to be intentional about being impartial. And what we mean by that is to recognize that because we recognize that it can and does happen, we have to be intentional about saying, look, I know I have a tendency to be partial to my ethnic group, to my racial group, to my cultural group, to my group within my whatever it is. And so therefore, I'm going to be intentionally impartial, which means I am going to purposely seek outside of my sort of partiality and look for people that are outside of my normal, you know, sort of comfort and actually seek to be impartial with other people to invite into this sort of circle that I normally would be partial to. And so I think everybody needs to be purposefully, intentionally impartial. But it does require for us to turn our brains on and to be purposeful in that way. And most people aren't.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. This is just one of the many ways NC Family works to educate and inform citizens across North Carolina about policy issues that impact North Carolina families. Our vision is to create a state and nation where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished. For more information about NC Family and how you can help us to achieve this incredible vision for our state and nation, visit our website at ncfamily.org. Again, that's ncfamily.org. And be sure to sign up to receive our email updates, action alerts, and of course our flagship publication, Family North Carolina Magazine. We'd also love for you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
I love that idea of seeking out people that are different from you and spending time with them, because that certainly is a healthy pursuit. We hear a lot about systemic racism. Can you define that for us? I think some people don't really understand what that means when that term is used. And do you consider this to be a grave threat to justice today?
Yeah, it is a grave threat. And there are a couple of instances of systemic racism. When we do our workshops, I try to give several instances. I'll give you a short story. The shortest story is law enforcement is not systemically racist. And I don't think that I have enough time on this interview to go into why it's not. But I'll give you some instances that are systemic. First of all, I think we need to define systemic. There's a lot of, you know, different ways that we can view this. But the best way for us to start to break this apart is to define what systemic is. Systemic is an entire system that's dedicated to a particular paradigm or culture. So that means up, down, in and out, through and through. Everyone's marching to a particular beat. So if you had a particular culture, like Apple back in the day had a particular culture, it was systemic. If you went to Cupertino back in the day when Steve Jobs was there, I mean, Apple was systemically, culturally all the same. Everybody was infused with Apple, right? So that was an example of systemic. Now, systemic racism is when everybody marches to a particular beat. A good example of systemic would be if you had a particular visionary like Margaret Sanger, who said, I don't want the word to get out, but I want to fully exterminate the Negro population. And then she proceeds to start her family planning clinics and puts them disproportionately in Black communities and proceeds to carry out her vision and then, hires her all pretty much 90%+ white personnel, and everybody's marching to that beat even to this very day, where they're disproportionately in Black communities and exterminating the Black population. That is a good example of systemic racism. Anybody that supports Planned Parenthood to this very day, I would say that they're systemically racist. That's what I would say, because it fits the definition. Another very, very good example is critical race theorists. Critical race theory is a racist theory that says all whites need to be discriminated against. And so, of course, if anything that does that says we need to discriminate against anybody is racist. And because it advocates that, and because all of the theorists at the top advocate that, the entire system is designed to exacerbate that. Then it's up, down, in and out, through and through, designed to propagate that. CRT itself is systemically racist. So CRT and Planned Parenthood and all of its abortuaries committed to that are good examples of systemic racism.
Very good point. You're turning some of these terms on their head.
Yes, on purpose.
Yeah, and it throws a whole new light on much of the language that we're hearing. Do you feel like there's a danger because of who is behind a lot of the noise that's happening around these protests, that there's going to be a backlash that will actually set our progress against racism back?
Yeah, we are at a real tipping point here. I want your listeners to understand. This is what we're in right now. We need to purposefully, prayerfully intercede for America and intercede for the church. We are at a real severe point. We know in the end we'll win, yes, but the church must stand up at this point. Do I think that we'll have like a civil war? No, I don't think so. Do I think that it'll probably get worse before it gets better? Yes, I do believe so. I don't know how that will look. I do believe that we need the church and all clergy to be on the front lines, to be at the tip of the spear, to stand firm and flat-footed against critical race theory and all of its accoutrements. And so we're at a very, very dangerous point in American history. And, you know, I would encourage all of your listeners and especially clergy that this is a time to stand firm. This is not a time to be a woke pastor. This is a time to awaken to the truth of the gospel and to embrace the gospel fully, not to adopt, you know, any additional woke gospel and to add to it. Galatians 1:8 and 1:9, please, pastors, read that and understand what Apostle Paul was teaching us.
Okay. So we're just about out of time for this week, but before we go, Kevin McGarry, where can our listeners go to learn more about your work at Every Black Life Matters?
Yeah, so I would encourage your listeners, here's what we do to help the body of Christ, to help communities. We actually go across the country. We're providing remnant workshops, remnant rising workshops. So that's a one-day full workshop. We will actually fully deconstruct and debunk critical race theory, fully debunk liberation theology, black liberation theology, and also social justice versus biblical justice in the full one-day workshop. So you can find out more information at our website, which is everyblm.com, everyblm.com. You can go there, and we also have resources. Go to our resources tab. You can download letters that you could immediately just start sending letter campaigns to your local elected officials or federal officials, and inundate them with letters as a concerned parent, grandparent, whatever, and help them to understand that you don't want your daughter, granddaughter, your children in general learning about critical race theory and all of its hateful tenets. So those things are there. We have all kinds of shareable resources there. Please go to our website, everyblm.com. You can also become a partner with us. We'd love for your support. We have BLM that has over $10 billion in support over the next several years. And we're at the tip of the spear. We'll go anywhere and train and help. And so we would love to get your support. And we're standing firm. We're praying for America. And anything you can do to stand with us would be greatly appreciated.
Kevin McGarry, president of Every Black Life Matters, thank you so much for joining us today on Family Policy Matters.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. We hope you enjoyed the program and plan to tune in again next week. To listen to this show online and to learn more about NC Family's work to inform, encourage, and inspire families across North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. That's ncfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and your family.